Good morning. It's good to see you all here. Another Lord's Day that God has given to us to come out out of the world, to come here to worship God in spirit and truth with others of like precious faith. This morning I wish to speak for a short time on the 10 reasons why the nation of Israel fell, that is, their apostasy. We certainly can learn a lot from others' mistakes. When we review history and look back on the things, whether the history of the things that we find in the Bible or the history of this world's history, what I should say, we can see the mistakes of others and learn from it, both as individuals and as nations. In Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 25, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." We often hear someone referring to the fall of Israel. We have on many occasions heard many things on the fall of Rome. We know that Rome fell due to many things, mainly evil and pride and covetousness and desire for power. But in the fall of Israel's, we find that they had always followed a continuous cycle. We can read of it in all throughout the Old Testament. Their obedience to God, first of all, and they had peace, and they lived in a good land, and they had victory over their enemies when they were obedient to God. Next, their next step, they fell into apostasy. They fell away from God, fell away from His laws, didn't desire to please him anymore. And then, of course, thirdly, they were punished through oppression in captivity. And then fourthly, to complete that cycle, they repented of their sins, which brought back peace again. And over we see good kings and evil kings. And when their leaders were good, they were good. When their leaders were bad, they, of course, were evil and bad as well. The prophet Hosea gave us 10 reasons that Israel fell away from Jehovah God. We should listen to Romans 15 and 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." When we look on the Old Testament and the lessons that we see there of the things that the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, did and what they didn't do, we can see what happened to them and we can learn from them. It will be the purpose of this lesson this morning to examine the reason Hosea portrays Israel's fall and apply them to the nation of God, the church, to assure our steadfastness in the faith. When man doesn't obey or follow God's word, he would like to call it freedom. Freedom to do what he feels is right to do. What it is, really, is rebellion. When God's chosen people turn their back on Jehovah God, it was apostasy. When a Christian does that same thing, it too is apostasy, a turning away. Today marks a very, very sad day in our nation's history, September 11th. The Nation of Islam has, on occasion, called this great nation of ours the Great Satan, for the evil things that they see going on in this nation. But despite the tragedies that this nation has endured, God has greatly blessed this nation, but in all of the blessings, many have closed their eyes to the sin that is becoming so prevalent in our society. Apathy seems to reign in this world today. For example, approximately 50% of our nation feels that abortion is okay. So we never forget God's feeling about a nation that falls away from God. Let's look at how he reviewed Israel, how he looked at Israel, and the reasons Israel fell away from God. But before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Won't you humble yourselves as one selected leads us in that word of prayer. The first reason the nation of Israel fell, or a nation will fall, is because of a lack of knowledge. We've heard that here from time to time, stress the importance of hearing and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, stressing that there is no other knowledge other than the Word of God if we wish to save our souls come Judgment Day. Hosea 4 and 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me." seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. We have read and heard stories, lessons from the Old Testament, the great King Josiah, how he was brought the word or the book of the law had been misplaced in the temple, lost, maybe covered with dirt or dust, or up under other objects that were in there. The good old book was dusted off and read and brought to the king, and then, of course, they welcomed that word with open arms. They lacked knowledge then. There's certainly a lacking of knowledge now. And, of course, the good book, the Bible, is what will fill that void. Many get weary and dreary when they hear the Word of God. They feel their time is better spent doing other things. If we reject His Word, let us remember, if we reject Christ, if we reject His Word, He will also reject us. Do not turn away from Him who has addressed you in the New Testament and called you to obey and serve Him. There is much to be dreaded in disregarding His voice now as there was back then. He speaks to us through His Son. He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit and by all His calls and warnings in the Gospel. In Hebrews 1 and 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. In Isaiah 5 and 13 we read, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. When man chooses to not to hear or read God's word, they in essence become famished. They become hungry and they become thirsty for righteousness. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As I said before, the word of the Lord is the only thing that can give us knowledge, the knowledge that truly counts, the knowledge that's truly important in our lives. Yes, we may get the worldly wisdom knowledge in our universities, in the school of hard knocks, but the only true knowledge, the real knowledge that will benefit us in the end, of course, is the Word of God. John 6 and 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Want of religious instruction is the ruin of nations and churches. In this first reason why Israel fell, because of lack of knowledge, we must gain that knowledge by reading it and studying it for ourselves. And of course, the family heads, the parents were to instruct the youngsters, the children, mainly the head of the father. In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. The Word of God should be so much a part of our lives. We should read it and study it and, of course, teach our children. We must be full of the knowledge so we will never be caught short not knowing the way to go in this life. The Word of God should lead us and show us the right way that we should travel in this world. We have that same responsibility today to make sure there is no lack of knowledge in our lives. The knowledge that counts, the studying of God's Word. We are admonished to study and show ourselves approved under God, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're not able to be ready to give a man an answer for a question unless we know the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That's what it's all about. growing. We should be growing in the Lord and becoming more and more mature in the Word of God. Our maturity as a Christian should commence immediately after we become newborn babes. Granted, some takes a little longer than others, but we should never stay as newborn babes. We should desire the sincere meat of the Word and be weaned off the milk and learn and learn and learn more and more about God's will in our lives. We must continually grow in His knowledge in order to survive. Next, a nation will fall. Israel fell because of spiritual adultery. Hosea 4 and 12, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." We find that example with the golden calf. The story when Moses went up to the mount to receive the tablets of stone from God, and what Aaron had to deal with back in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." In Exodus 32, verses 7 through 9, we read again, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made for them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." We find in this example here how quickly the chosen people turned their back on God, how quickly they led themselves astray when their leader wasn't present. Yes, our leader, the head of the church that we're members of today, is Jesus Christ. But we have His Word. He left us His Word for us to use and read and study and help us along life's way. We should, of course, again, read His Word and study it and know what is right, know what is wrong, so we become strong enough where we will not turn our back on God. When we go whoring after other things that we feel that God would, I should say that people that substitute the things that they do in their lives instead of worshiping God, they turn to other things. We know there are many great cities, big, large cities, even in this nation of ours, that are full of the occult. There's areas of town that are the darkest of dark that dabble in the occult, in witchcraft, in voodoo, and it's only a matter of time before they are punished. Sometimes they are punished briefly with some natural disasters. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah were completely destroyed by fire and brimstone. There are many other areas of town that were completely wiped off the map and destroyed from natural disasters for their great sin. And it is behooves us to look back on the things that people have done, that their spiritual adultery, that we don't fall and do the same thing and slip up. The chosen people here corrupted themselves by turning their back on God and created idols to worship their idols and believe that their idols is the ones that led them up out of the land of Egypt. They were they corrupted themselves there, and of course they caused Aaron to sin as well. Aaron should have known better to take part in their asking him to sin. They should have been rebuked immediately, but we know what happened when Moses came back down from the mount. He burnt the calf, and they slaughtered the people that chose to worship idols. He gave them a choice: those that would stand with me, and those that would go after the idols. And of course, they were destroyed that day. Elijah warned the people as well. All the prophets that are in the Old Testament gave warning to the people. God does have a great mercy and long suffering. The Lord sent the people of Israel many, many prophets to warn them over time. And Elijah warned the people in 1 Kings 18 and 21 with the following. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Joshua warned the people in Joshua 24 and 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served, and that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a decision that many people still make today. Do we serve the Lord, or do we serve the idols of this world? Whether it be the monetary things of this world, or other things of pleasure that is prominent in this world, man has to make that decision for himself, whether him and his family choose to follow the Lord or follow Satan. Matthew 6 and 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Thirdly, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because of its pride. Hosea 5 and 5, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." We've heard many occasions the lessons concerning pride and a proud spirit. The gospel is full of warnings on pride in our heart that's puffed up, our mind, our hearts, our lives feel puffed up for our status, maybe for our worldly knowledge. Many people are very proud of themselves for the money they make today, or their great success over other people in the world. But we know it's all vain. We know it's all for naught. Pride will destroy a nation, and pride will certainly destroy an individual. Proverbs 16 and 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Haughtiness and pride always implies a strong self-confidence, which produces carelessness, which causes a fall, literally a sliding away. Pride should always warn us that a humbling time is near. A humbling time is very close. How many today will not obey Jesus Christ because of pride? James 4 and 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He will lift you up from the condition of a broken heart. He will wipe away your tears, remove the sadness from your heart, fill you with joy, and clothe you with the garments of salvation." God is always willing to show mercy to the humble and the repentant. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because of instability of character. Hosea 6 and 4, "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away." We have a great example here that should warn us that we should keep our hearts and minds from wavering. The message here is an instability of character. It's doing what's right when nobody's watching, so to speak. But we should know that God's always watching us over us. He knows all the things that we do and say and think. He knows our intentions. So there's always really somebody's watching, and that's our Creator God. God seemed puzzled here in this verse 4 on how to act towards his people. He didn't know whether to bring justice down on them or to have mercy. When justice was about to destroy them for their iniquity, he stopped because they repented and they had remorse about them. When mercy was about to be shown them, their wavering prevented it. God's people were inconsistent in their service to him. And we must be mindful and careful that our service is not inconsistent either. God doesn't like double-minded people. God's people needs to stand firm and unwavering. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Today, the last 100 years or so, there have been many that wanted to move the faithful in the body of Christ, wanted to bring in innovations, wanted to bring in changes, bring in choirs, musical instruments, multiple cups, multiple loaves, classes, dividing the assemblies, all that were foreign to the Word of God. There were many that over time continued to bombard faithful brethren in trying to encourage them to change and take these added things on. But there were many that were steadfast and they were unmovable, knowing what was right, what was true, that they needed to keep and guard. They were guardians of the truth. And of course, their services remain righteous. Their services and worship to God remain uncorrupted. The only way that we're going to be steadfast in the faith and unmovable to the innovations and lies that people come our way disguised as something nice is to study the Word of God and know it. Next, a nation will fall. Israel fell because they did not obey God. Hosea 6:6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Here we find the people doing things their way. They decided to sacrifice things and burnt offerings, and they did things that God didn't want them to do. They must have done them in the wrong way, the wrong time, and not in the right place. God demands what He wants, what He desires, and that's exactly how we should do it. Do it God's way and not man's corrupted way. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." God has given us guidelines to follow, and we cannot follow our own ways, man's ways, or a group of men's rules, the traditions of men, or the doctrines of men. They're all erroneous. None of them are based on the Word of God. If we wish to please God, if we wish to be saved by God, we need to do it God's way. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because of their relationship with the world. We know on many occasions that it was against the rules, against their law as a chosen people, not to intermingle and marry people outside the Jewish race. The main reason is the other races, the other peoples around them, most all of them, if not all of them, were all idolaters, and God wanted to keep Israel clean, did not want any kind of outside influence that would cause them to turn their back on them, and that's exactly what happened. Hosea 7:8, "Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people." Ephraim is a cake not turned. A cake burnt on one side and raw and unbaked on the other. And it was worthless and uneatable. And this, of course, is an image of the worthlessness of Ephraim. They were not entirely devoted to God. They worshipped idols on their bad days and worshipped Jehovah God on their good days. They flip-flopped. We've heard the term before. They wavered, went back and forth, good to evil, good to evil. They professed to fear God, but then worshipped idols. Their double-mindedness is commonplace today. And of course, we know that it is very distasteful to God, who says in Revelation 3:15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I would thou wert cold or hot. 1 John 2:25, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We know the right way. The right way is what we should stay on. We know where the dark way, the broad way is. We have the Bible to show us those ways. And of course, we know that we must strive to stay steadfast in the faith and not steer down those roads or steer anyone erroneously in that direction either. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because they lied against God. They were dishonest. Hosea 7:13, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They pretended to be his worshipers when they were at the same time worshiping idols. Remember that we can lie to God without even saying a word. The way we live our lives and what is written in our hearts will tell our Lord who we are and what we're all about. We don't need to say a word to lie, even though that's usually the case. When one lies, they open the mouth and use that tongue to say things that are not true or contrary to the Word of God. But we don't even have to say a word to lie to our God. If we are committed to loving Him and following Him, the way we live our lives certainly will show it. What is written in our hearts will certainly show it. Notice in Proverbs 6 and 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Here we find two very obvious notes about lying. And of course, at the very end, the last verse, sowing discord among the brethren, that in a way can be done by lying to them too. So we have here three of these things here listed here are spoken about lying. The Bible contemns the liar in about 198 places. God cannot stand a liar. It stands completely and totally opposed to Him. We know that God stands completely opposed to Satan, and we know that the devil is the father of all lies, for he gave the first lie to Adam and Eve. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because of corrupted morals. We've heard the term morals. It's our essence of who we are, whether they be good morals or bad morals. We've developed our morals through our environment in our homes. If we've had good, God-fearing parents, we've developed, hopefully, good morals. We've seen in the tragedies and in the dismay in this world, the children that commit some of the horrendous crimes that we hear about, many of them have come, of course, from broken families. Many of them have come from parents with evil and bad morals, all of them having records, criminal records with the law of the land. And we must be mindful that our morals guide us, and if we've got corrupted morals, we will be punished for them. Hosea 9:9, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity, and he will visit their sins. Gibeah was a city similar to Sodom, in all its evil and sexual sins. Sins that were committed in Sodom and Gomorrah were the same ones they did in Gibeah, and they were some so evil and detestable that you would hate to even discuss or speak of what was going on. But 1 Corinthians 5, Paul admonishes the people to get rid of it and to put it away from you, and to put those people away from you as well that do not want to repent of those evil things. We as children of God should be mindful of the people that we come in contact with. Our children should have been taught from an early age to be careful of who you make friends with. And you can notice in a very short period of time what a person is made out of, what their morals are all about, and that you would not associate yourselves with bad company, not associate yourselves with those that have no regard or love for God or obeying God. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because they counted God's law a strange thing. There are many today that consider the Bible, the Word of God, is worthless, is stupid, wasting your time. In essence, they're calling it a strange thing. Hosea 8:12, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. The Word of God is far from a strange thing. The Word of God is such a wonderful thing. It brings to us salvation. It speaks and teaches us who our Creator is, that puts to shame all the thoughts of all the learned men in colleges concerning evolution. We were created by our Lord God in His image. The Bible teaches us all the great things and the hope and the promises that He promises us if we're obedient to His Word. There are many lessons in the Old Testament that we can learn and use to guide our way so we don't make the same mistake. There's great promises of eternity if we follow the Lord's way. The Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a far cry from a strange thing. It is only the unlearned, it is only the ignorant that would call the Word of God a strange thing. When man decides to worship God in his own way, though, disregards God's clear manner of true worship, when man decides to live his life in his own way and not after the Bible's way, man has counted God's way as a strange thing. It continues on today. So here we have, if even those that would profess Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that God says are in trouble. When man decides to worship, again, God in his own way and not use the divine pattern that our great Lord has given to us in the New Testament, how we should worship God in spirit and in truth, shown to us by the apostles, over time, the church has, of course, maintained, maybe few in number during the Dark Ages, but the New Testament church still survives today, still worshiping today as they did at Pentecost, and of course the New Testament shows us the right way to worship God. Those in their infinite wisdom that wish to pick and choose or maybe not even use anything in the New Testament for how they worship God, they are pretty much, in essence, calling the New Testament scriptures a strange thing because they're not using it. Isaiah 30 and 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They were rebellious then, they're a rebellious people today. Let us learn from this example that these rebellious people didn't want to hear the law of the Lord. We must hear the law of the Lord, if we wish to remain faithful and wish to remain on the right track towards heaven. Notice 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant and in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Those that would count the word of God, God's law, as a strange thing, must be believing and following fables, wives' tales, things that are false. It's either one or the other. If one does not read and follow God's word, they, of course, are using fables and lies. Let us remember that the rebellious people back then became rebellious because they didn't respect the word of God. They didn't believe it, and for all it was worth, but of course we know better. Next, a nation will fall, or Israel fell, because they were bent on backsliding. Hosea 11 and 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. Very clear language. Very clear message. They were bent on backsliding from God. Their drive, they were always determined to backslide. It's one thing to backslide by mistake, but it's a whole other story when one is determined to backslide. One is bent on backsliding with a carefree attitude and a carefree, uncaring heart. God wants us to forget the past and to forget our old life. Luke 9 and 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 2 and 20, starting in verse 20 to 22. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. We have noticed here this morning the 10 reasons why a nation or why Israel fell away from God, from lack of knowledge, their spiritual adultery, their pride, the instability of their character, their disobedience, not wishing or wanting to obey God anymore, their delving into the things of this world, their relationship with the world that was full of sin. They lied, they were dishonest and they lied against God. They developed and maintained corrupted morals. They counted God's law as a strange thing, basically thumbing their nose at God and turning their back on them. And they were bent on backsliding. They put an honest effort in turning their back away from God. Do any of these fit in your life? If so, what do you tend to do about it? Now's the time, while God has shown His great mercy and long-suffering, continues to allow time to continue to tick and tick and tick away, giving more and more chances for one to do what he needs to do to get his life back together, to get yourself back on track if you're off track, if you're off on the wrong road, to get back on the right road. There'll be no excuse on Judgment Day for any individual to say, you didn't give me enough chances, Lord, because God continues to hold back that day of judgment to give us another opportunity to either obey the gospel and to be baptized in the body of Christ or to repent and pray for forgiveness and become strong again and get on the right track. That's my lesson this morning on the reasons why Israel fell. It's a lesson that we can use to be mindful that we don't fall and stay fallen and stay falling down and not get ourselves back up again become obedient to our Lord. If one be desiring the services of the church, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?